for ripping and roaring right through this, and which I knew this was all going to happen. But we are in Acts chapter 3, and just want to make sure that at least a few things remembered what's taking place here. So in the first couple of chapters, remember, this is Jerusalem. This is a picture of 1947. Can't read that up there. And I like this photograph because the pictures and what I have in my mind of Jerusalem is a lot of cars driving fast and honking and hustle and bustle. It just, wow. But anyway, this not quite as much, at least in 1947. Obviously, some of you might be able to pick out and see different things here. And I'm up here really close, not seeing as good. But the mass is right here, I believe. This is the mathless gate. If you guys recognize that from other pictures. You will be seeing a lot of times, if you look at pictures of Jerusalem, you see the mosque, the Dome of the Rock. Yes. It's Muslim, Islam. But when you see that picture, you just have to picture in your mind where that's where the temple was set. All right? And so that is when it's going to stick out in a lot of scriptures and stuff, or excuse me, pictures that you look at, is this great, this big mosque they put on this huge Temple Mount. What else you might need to know here? Well, this is the Garden of Tombs right here. Golgotha thing. I think it's here. It's pretty blurry up here for me. I can't really tell. This is Garden of Gethsemane. Mount Olives is up there on top. Okay, it gives you a little bit of an idea. Yes. Bottom line is, it looks different today than it did in 1947. So in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 1 there, just a quick reminder. First of all, the brethren, the church members, were told to stay in Jerusalem. All right, remember that? They were to wait for the promise. They were to wait for the power. They were to receive. They were going to, of course, be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And also here in Jerusalem, you know, the Lord, go ahead and turn over to Luke 24. The Lord told them, you know, gave them that commission, told them what they needed to do, what was expected, what he wanted from them. And we talked about this scripture earlier here, but look at Luke chapter 24 and 47. Just really going to read one verse here. Of course, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I realize the church did not start in Jerusalem. I understand that. But this is ready for it. This was the work that was to go forward. This is the book of Acts. This is going to start here, preaching in Jerusalem and teaching in Jerusalem. And of course, in Acts chapter 2, we already see that starting here. And this is the beginning of what Jesus wanted them to do, is taking this word forward, starting in Jerusalem and going in all nations. And so Jerusalem, oh boy, here we go. Let's see if I did that. This is from the top of the Mount of Olives, looking on Jerusalem today, or 20-some years ago, whenever it was, 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. Anyway, so this is from the top of the Mount of Olives, looking on Jerusalem today, the big city, etc. You can still see the Temple Mount here, all right? And of course, the Dome of the Rock that I mentioned to you. Mount of Olives is about 300 feet higher than the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. But so we can see here Jerusalem, of course. I just can't help but think of how many enemies, how many times they were surrounded, and how many people or shepherds, what are you on top of this mountain and looking on the temple and looking on the activities, et cetera, that was going on. But
is that dome really gold, or is that gold plate?
I'll sell you some.
Yeah, that kind of bridge.
I don't think anybody could live trying to get some of that off there. Yes. All right. So, and then, of course, the Mount of Olives, speaking of that, we know that the church Jesus led them out to the Mount. This is a picture from the Temple Mount, looking up at the Mount of Olives. And we know that Jesus, of course, he blessed his church. He led them out there. They ascended up. They went up to the top of the Mount of Olives here. And this is to the east of Jerusalem. Of course, this is where he ascended up into heaven. All right. There being, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. Should be there anyway. The Mount of Olives, let me see what it is.
I mean, those were tombs that I was seeing in that last picture.
Yeah. Jews, if I get this wrong, someone can correct me. Jews, Muslims, both, they buried people there. I think I remember wrote down $50,000 in 1997. $50,000 a gravesite is what I was told. We were told there. That's, they want to be right there at the right place, right? So there's a lot of tombs. It's a lot of tombs. So again, this is looking from the Temple Mount and going up to the Mount of Olives. Of course, we know that Jesus led his church up there, and he gave them a few more instructions, and then he ascends up to heaven. And I think, and I can't really tell. I got it mixed up. I gave Brother Jared help me with this. One of those two pictures there is actually taken from Stephen's gate. I've always wondered, you know, Stephen, I don't know if Stephen actually saw Jesus ascend up into heaven. Okay. I know he's a pretty faithful guy and did a great work. And I'm saying he did this, but I wonder when he was there preaching to all those guys, they took him out there to stone him. He's about ready to die. And he just remembers that Mount of Olives maybe when Jesus ascended up. I don't know. And bottom line is, he got to see the Lord, of course, Stephen did. Look back, tells us here. But in this reading here, this, verse number 9 here, Acts chapter 1, says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. And I will say this, the Mount of Olives didn't go anywhere. It stayed there. And these brethren that he talked to, whoever they were, they lived and walked and was around Jerusalem many times. And that had to be a special mountaintop to look at. And think, wow, remember what he said? Or what the angel said, excuse me, he's going to come back. Special time. What a landmark. What a landmark. Now they commercialized it. We went there. They had the footprint of Jesus pushing off, going up into heaven and all that kind of stuff. Brother Jared wanted to spare you guys that picture. But bottom line, up there somewhere is when Jesus went up into heaven. Oh, I threw these in here. Maybe just to give you a little bit of the idea. We walked on pavement or steps or whatever, but it was a mountain. It was a hill. It just shows you the up and down, I guess. He's trying to show that. Is that our crew? Yeah. That's that Brother Bush right there.
Yeah.
Brother Bush. Brother Sean.
Yep.
Is this Brother Mike?
Yeah. No.
Yep. Brother Paulson, maybe right here.
Yeah.
That's hard for me. Yeah, I think it is. Probably trying to get a good deal on some scarves or something. All right. So, of course, they were told to return to Jerusalem. And the Bible mentions a couple times they went to an upper room. Right? Sister Newton, Sister Betty and I were talking about the upper room. You know, do we know 100% for sure? But it was an upper room that was large enough to hold a few folks in there. We read in the book of Acts. But there, this is one that is believed that it's, I could talk a little bit about the history, it doesn't really matter, but this is, if it wasn't this place, it was one very similar, of course. Possibly this was the exact place. I believe we were told there's a room that came up these stairs here It's possibly the place where the Lord's Supper was taken. The bottom line, it was somewhere there, okay? And in this upper room, of course, we remember they had a business meeting. And the church met there. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? Pretty special event. Holy Spirit coming on the church, baptizing them. And so, the upper room. This is not our group. I know you, some of you guys don't know what this is. Do you mind what this is?
Yeah, jam four.
Probably date yourself on that one, right? Now you pull out your phone, right? This is our group right there in 1997. Sister Gay, I think, right there. Brother Cooper, Sister Angie, Brother Roger, Brother Mike. Is that Sister Hubbard, I think?
Yes.
Brother Sister Patterson. Brother Butch, maybe. This is our guy. I think her name is Rula. So, we got to spend some time in there. And it makes you stop and think, think about maybe having some services. Of course, Holy Spirit coming on the church, saying Day of Pentecost or whatever, maybe even the Last Supper, the Lord. There was a place that he met with his church, his brethren. Yes, sir.
But I've seen that these are thousands of years old. These are the same building.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're the same building. Now, we don't know if this is the other room, but these buildings are over 2,000 years old.
The location is the same. What you're seeing of the ceiling there is from the 12th century.
There's been some, yeah. But I do remember, though, walking up some steps. Do you remember going up those steps? And I didn't put a picture. There's some steps, and I'm not a masoner. Maybe a lot of stone steps. And these steps were a couple thousand years old. And you could just see just a little bit of the wear in there. And no doubt, and some of the places that we walked actually were the footprint. Jesus himself walked there, or maybe some of the brethren. So there's, I could talk a little bit about the history. Once there was a fire in this room, they did some rebuilding and et cetera. But the place of the room itself, this is, a lot of people believe this is the place. Yes. All right.
How's that compared to like this room?
This room right here? So we always talk about this room. Very comparable, maybe just very comparable. I do believe you could have 100 people standing in there. It might be close. Matter of fact, in 2000, we went back to this room. We spent about 3 minutes in this room. It was like there's a whole group of people in there, a lot of people. And I actually, Brother Jerry, we could see 50-some.
About where the person in the blue jacket is to that far wall fit about 40 to 50 people in just that area.
But he counted. We went through like 55 miles per hour. I mean, we went through there. We took a picture. Oh, this is it. And they were having this little chant. They were doing all this stuff in here. And so we didn't get a chance to spend it. But there was quite a few in that one picture that I took, right?
It easily fit 100.
So I think it could easily get 100 people in these rooms. But this is my opinion.
Same.
Upper room. So. Again, Acts chapter 2, we went over the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came on them in one place, in one accord. Very nice. The church received its power, And then they were told to go. And then, of course, we went over Acts chapter 2 and some amazing, amazing day, series of events, the messages, the preaching. Of course, people were saved, people were baptized, and they were added to the church. Right? So, again, we started here in Jerusalem. And so we're in chapter 3 here. If you want to turn there, please, Acts chapter 3. We have a couple pictures of the temple. This is a drawing of a year. Oh, I forgot the year. But anyway, this is a drawing, one of the earlier drawings that they have of the temple. The second... Second temple, I forgot. But anyway, so this is from the east here. This is the entering into the temple. And of course, I think these are the pools of the Bethesda, or something like that, right? My left. cools, right?
The location.
Yeah. And anyway, let's go Acts chapter 3 or Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. And you would please sit there. So, Taronda, can you read here? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and just read 1 through 6. Actually, 1 through 11. Let's do that. 1 through 11.
Okay. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fasting with eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed, of Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering.
Right. Thank you. So we have here Peter and John, and here's a drawing of the temple. I don't know how well you can see it back there, but really didn't want to. I'm not sure I'm the smartest one to do so, but this is sort of the bird's eye view of the temple. And of course, this is the priest could go back in here in the sanctuary. Have the altar here. The Jewish men could come here inside this part. This is the women's court. Okay, the Gentiles had to stay out here. But I'm reading it right. So the entrance way to go in here is most believe this is referred to as the Gate Beautiful. So probably this man that we just read about has been placed here as people were entering in. The temple, as I read about the temple, it was a very busy place. A lot of folks, a lot of activity. If you get a chance to look at the aerial view of just the whole mount, the temple did not, there's a lot of space up there is what I'm trying to say. A lot of things was happening here. But this story, we read this, the Vacation Bible School, elementary or whatever, but this is of course, it's a true story, but it's an excellent physical teaching that brings forth the spiritual application or spiritual truth. And so take a few minutes here. And so these verses, Sister Rhonda, happened. Very simple. What happened in these verses? Very simple. Somebody. A lame man. What does it mean, lame man? What does that mean? Someone who's lame. Couldn't walk. Okay. All right. I'm hoping that we can, as we think about this, we really cannot think of 2026 and compare it to what it was like during this time. It's much more difficult, of course. Okay? So is this the first? This is a miracle, right? It's a miracle. Was this the first miracle the church member had performed? No? No, we have an example there. We can go over to the book of Luke, and we see the Lord sent out the 12. We see that they had a power and they had ability, right? But the difference this time, don't get me wrong, same power, God. The difference, this was the first miracle, say, without Jesus being there, right? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit was there. This was a little bit different here.
Was strange wheels?
maybe they were kicked off, so to speak, right? All right, so this man, looking at verse 2, let's take a look at the physical here. You've already said it. Says he was a lame man, okay? He was physically handicapped. He could not walk, all right? It's crippled, halt. Not much. He couldn't help himself much, could he? The Bible says there that people had to carry him to this spot so he could beg for alms, right? All right? You have to realize we didn't have wheelchairs, electric wheelchairs, and ramps and And oh my goodness, what all can I come up with here? Lifts, social services, welfare, etc. Right. I don't like to tell stories here, but I can remember in the 1980s, my wife had to take this class, and she pulled the car up there, Missouri Southern there, Missouri, and she had to get in a wheelchair. And she had to go the whole day in school in a wheelchair. She had to do this for handicap, whatever. She couldn't believe how many people didn't open the door. And twice she came into the building, there were stairs. She had to figure it out, how to get around. Nowadays, there's all these stuff going on, but life was tough. Not those 80s. I mean, but back here, life was tough. All right. So how long had this man been this way? All right, good. If you look over at Acts chapter 4 and verse 22, if you want to write that, we'll get to it eventually. 40 years. How many people in here understand 40 years? Okay, a couple of us maybe, right? Okay, 40 years. Before this man that we just read about, before this man met Peter and John, what kind of life did he have?
He was a beggar.
Hard. Hard? Oh, that's good. How much of a life was it? Not much. What kind of hope did he have? Someone's going to fix him? Did he have that hope? His life wasn't much that day. There wasn't a bright future in his life, if you think about it, right? Of course, in verses 4 through 6, I know Sister Rhonda read these here, he didn't have much life. In verses 4 through 6, when the man did meet Peter and John, what's the first thing they had him to do? Look at verse 4.
Gone.
And you just think about all the activity that was going on and all the hustle bustle, people going in, people, whatever the case is. Look at it. All right. It says that in verse number 4. And it says they fastened his eyes on him, right? And then in verse number 6, of course, it says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John, they sat there. These guys told him what to do. He's looking at him, and he doesn't. Right? We can talk about how much heard about Jesus. We can talk about, but to do this, to stand up and do this, to have this faith, to stand up and do this, this is amazing.
Yeah.
All right? So.
Yeah, he probably thought it was going to be laughable.
Yeah.
Cup and walk.
So when this man is healed, how did his life change? Physically speaking, how did his life change? Totally. Who said it? Totally. Strengthen his ankles. What's the simple thing? Get up and
walk on your own.
Get a job, etc. Brother Nathan?
He's a new creature.
He's a new, ready for this? He had a new life. Things were different, physically speaking. A new creature from this point on. All right? Now, of course, let's go ahead and see this, hopefully in the spiritual point of view. Did I already show these or anything I did? Yeah. See, this would be the big beautiful right here. Brothers. All right, this is the model city over there in Jerusalem. We got the chance to see this a couple times, and it's very good for learning some things. But let's go ahead. Yes.
I'm just thinking that he was at the mercy, he's at the mercy of people's kindness, if you will. And the flip side of that, at the mercy of the kindness, he was in bondage to. So he had no control over the sin or lack of compassion of other people, whereas after he was healed, he had freedom from that.
A major change happened this day by looking to Peter and John and listening and doing. All men, all mankind, spiritually speaking, are just like this layman. Everyone is. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, let's do this here. Brother Jared, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And Brother Reagan, Proverbs chapter 20. Sister Andrew, Jeremiah chapter 2. So all men are in the same boat, spiritually speaking, as this man here that we read about in these first 11 verses here. We are spiritually handicapped. We are crippled. We are whole. How about Ecclesiastes 7:20? What do you got?
There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Okay, so all are sinners, right?
Yep.
All, everyone. Everyone has a spiritual problem. We can look at this guy, he can't walk, and we can say, all of us are in this boat. Every single one of us, all right? And man cannot help himself, just like this man could not help himself. Over in Proverbs 20 and verse 9. Proverbs 20 and verse 9.
Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?
Nobody can, right? Nobody can make their own heart clean. This man couldn't fix his problem. We can't fix ours, all right? And over in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 22, please. 2 and 22.
Peter washed you with vinegar and kissed you much soap, yet that iniquity is marked upon you, saith the Lord God.
Can try. People try to fix, do good works, whatever the case is, it doesn't change the problem or fix the problem. All right? And so, just like this man was from his from birth, he'd been this lame for 40 years from birth. All right, we too, Psalm 51 here. Brother Bo, you got that one? Psalm 51, verse 5, Sister Julianne, Psalm 58, Sister Caitlin, Isaiah 48. We too are sinners from the get-go. 51, 5 of Psalm.
Behold, I receive iniquity and sin in my mouth.
Good. And then Psalm 58:3.
Wicked are as kind of trouble the womb, they go astray, and fear of J.E. born, speaking lies.
Good. And then Isaiah 48:8, please.
Ye thou heardest not, ye thou knowest not, and from that time thy fear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldst steal very treacherously, and would have called the transgressor from birth.
Called a transgressor from what? From birth? From the womb, I couldn't hear you, sir. All right. So, I don't know. I don't want to get in your head, but there has to be, I can't be the one in this room that has walked by and see someone that's less fortunate, struggled, can't walk, lame, whatever. And don't sometimes think we're just a little bit better off than them, right? Or maybe not meaning to be hateful, but, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. Maybe that way, right? Well, we can't do that spiritually speaking, because we're all in the same boat. And we've been that way for a long time. And, you know, before this man met Peter and John, it was just going to be another day. It was like, oh, boy, get what he can get, maybe get some good deeds, get a little bit of money, whatever the case is, a little bit of mercy. He had no idea what was going to happen this day by meeting these two. You know, before someone, let's go Ephesians chapter 2. Before someone meets the Lord, what kind of life do we have? Well, I just look, there's a lot of things could read here, but verse 2, Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. All right? And even, you can read a few more verses, but verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Do you realize that, spiritually speaking, before someone meets Jesus Christ, they're just dead. They're just dead in their sins. And Romans 5, verse 6, we have no strength. There is no strength. And over in Ephesians chapter 2, we're still in 2, right? Verse number 12, it says, and at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, dead in our sins with no hope, no strength, just like this man, physically speaking, spiritually, same exact condition, same. And of course, Hebrews chapter 12, let's do this here. Brother Daniel, would you get a couple of these? Hebrews 12, 2. And Brother Ronnie, would you get John 14, 6, please? Hebrews 12, 2. Of course, you know, I mean, sometimes God puts words in the Bible and sometimes, but it says he looked right at that. They looked right on him, locked their eyes on him and listened to what he had to say. In Hebrews 12, 2, Brother Daniel.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, finding the shame, and is set down at the right hand throne of God.
There's no one else to look at. Right? There is no one else. And that's what these verses are here. No one else to look at. John 14, 6.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Of course, in Acts 4, 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, we know these verses. Most of us can quote them or get close, read them. And you would think it'd be so easy for folks to be able just to hear these verses, like, oh, that's got to be it. They don't look at Christ. They won't look. They look the other way.
Right.
And the first thing you have to do is understand he is the only answer. Have to lock in, listen to exactly what he has to say. And these brethren here in the New Testament, whether in the book of Acts or whatever, they spend a lot of time getting, thus saith the Lord. God said, listen, listen, listen. Because really the only chance they have. You know, Brother Nathan, you said a while ago that this man, when he was healed and he stood up and watched, you're like a new creature. Right? Whole new life. You know, after someone meets the Lord, and they accept him as their Savior, what is their condition? We use the book of John uses the term, they're born again, right? Born again, new life, change. And the people in this, many people, I hope in this room can attest to this, there is a major change, a major change. Now, we said this guy here, he could go to work. He could take care of himself. He could hold different things to do the next week that he already would have dreamed of doing. Spiritually speaking, isn't that the way we are? Wow. Have a chance to be the friend of the Lord. Have a chance to rule and reign with him. Have a chance to do his work. Have a chance to be in his presence, et cetera. Brother Nathan, go ahead.
And I think this is great bringing this out that when you are born again, when we talk to people that struggle with that, we say, go back to that place, that one time, and it was their home. You go back to this man from the womb, he was crippled, and he immediately left. Now, today, yep. When we have an injury and we're crippled, we've got to go through rehab, and it's a process, and it's a long time, and we've got to rework our brain. When we talk about the picture of that salvation, it is an instant and a moment of time. You become brand new right now.
Brand new. There was no limit to him as all the other people on the Temple Mount that day. Well, okay, forget the going into the Holy of Holies, right? But he was not limited.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to get one verse. A child of God. Saved, of course, child of God. Added to New Testament church. What's the limits? Peter Scriber says, I can do all things through Christ. Is that for all mankind? No, it's not. But now you can. All right, now you can. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Brother Scott's idea.
Oh, go ahead. Give either credit or condemn. Go ahead. I
was watching Owen crawling around over the Malachites. We have to first learn how to crawl,
yep.
Stand up, then we learn those things, then we can walk,
yep.
Learn those. It says he leaped up, which stood, walk.
There you go.
He didn't have to, just going off of Brother Nate, he didn't have to learn how to crawl first and learn how to stand. He just
immediately,
completely, literally, pretty cool.
All right, so we have 3 minutes. I cannot believe time just flew. Here we go. Ready? So think about it. Divine intervention. This lame man. How was it? What was the only way? The only possible way for him to change this day? God's, right? The only possible way a lost sinner to ever be able to go to heaven and be with the Lord is divine. The same. Okay, we read this. I appreciate it. Look at verse 8 and 9. Sister Ron already read it there. All right. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered in with them into the temple. I don't know if he'd ever been in the temple, but he got to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I wonder if I told him to be quiet. I don't know. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Don't look past this verse. All the people saw him walking and praising God. I've said this before, Brother Ryan, I see you right. I wonder if he ever stopped. Brother Nathan, smack his gum next week and say, yeah, whatever. Right? I wonder if he ever stopped. Let's close class with this. Spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ saves your soul. You gum smackers. What should we be doing?
Walking,
leaping, praising God. And then, of course, here's the tough one. Should we ever stop? Should we ever stop praising God, what he did for us that day that we met him in salvation? Hopefully. Brother BJ?
I just have one comment that I wanted to make earlier, so this is out of
order. Want me to back it up some?
Yeah, please. But I found it very interesting that Peter said, look upon us. Wasn't it Peter that walked on water and took his eyes off Jesus and sang?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can. Yes.
So I just find that to be interesting that he's the Lord who said it.
Peter said.
Because he knows.
Silver and gold, what?
I want to know.
Yeah.
Jesus. Then we go over there in the book of 1 Peter and it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He knew there was something better than silver and gold, right? That's good. All right, we're at it. I think we're just stop right here. Billy Cooper, come on up. We'll pick up here tomorrow.